I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm one half of your presenting duo. I'm Stuart Roy Whiffin. As ever is Christopher William Glasson sitting opposite me. Is he there?
Guaguan.
Hello.
How's it going, mate?
It's all good. It's all good. Look, let's just get straight in before we get on with today's top five and just do a big, big love and shout out to our sponsors. Right, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Moto Recall.
Yes, it's one of those lifestyle utility apps that every phone should have.
It's got the practical, the nostalgia, and the dream. From 18 to 118, there is something for you. It's what you make it.
Day-to-day reminders of tax and MOT on your cars you've in your current garage. I, for one, sometimes been driving around in my car not being MOT because I forgot, so it's a bit of a lifesaver.
Absolutely. I mean, never buy a second-hand car without knowing the history. You know, provenance. Moto Recall, make sure you aren't caught out by allowing you to perform a full provenance check on the vehicle. With just the car reg, is there outstanding finance? Has it been in an accident? Is the mileage legit? You'll get the full picture, powered by experience, with a data guarantee.
I wish I'd had that in the past. And with this app as well, you can build your historic garage with photos and data that you can not only look back on for yourself, but you can share it with your mates. You know, every car is a memory. You used to have that Cat in the Hat car. I'd love to have seen that.
I mean, if you don't have an historic garage, like, build out your dream garage. You know, what has caught your eye? What are you dreaming of owning?
And the best bit is free. Up to 50 cars and provenance checks are pay as you go when you need them. Experian aren't as nice as the Moto Recall team, of course.
Download the app for free. Search Moto Recall in your app store. MOTORECALL. Moto Recall in your app store. Hello, this is Chaz from Love Beer. And I'm here to tell you about why I sponsor Hardcore Listening and what love-beer.co.uk does. I am a fully certified by the British Beer and Pubs Association for bar installation with a focus on home and office bars. I have loads of home bar clients who have really enjoyed the service during lockdown, as well as corporate office clients like Facebook and HelloFresh. I offer a complete solution from installing the bar equipment right the way through to keg supply. I also offer regular maintenance packages for those who want a bar without all the hassle.
Hello, this is Charles, also from Love Beer. I just want to also let you know I'm fully licensed to sell kegs. We can supply loads of different products from mainstream beers and ciders right through to trendy craft beers and even Prosecco kegs, all delivered to your bar by a certified technician.
Also, while I'm here, have I mentioned the Land Rover Beeries 3, which is a 45-year-old ex-MOD Land Rover Series 3 that we have done a complete restoration on during lockdown?
The 3 Beeries 3 is a custom-built high-performance bar hidden in the back of a Land Rover. The bar we have installed is capable of doing upwards of 500 pints per hour. We're about 4 to 5 weeks off having it all back together and ready to show it off. And I'll be launching an Instagram for it this week.
Nice one, Charles.
Nice one. Hello, I want to take a moment to shout out one of our wicked sponsors, Eggfried.com. They are a streetwear brand. They produce t-shirts, sweats, hoodies, handmade denims.
It's all inspired by hip-hop, punk, choir fashion. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, head over to eggfried.com and have a look on the website, because it's not just the design, it's the layout, it's the website. You know, the creative team over there are absolutely on point. There's just some great stuff there. And not just for adults as well. They've got Small Fried, which is their range of kids' clothes. And if you want your kid to just look beyond cool, like, head over and check that out. And they've given us a discount code, right, Chris?
Yes, egg salad. If you type egg salad into the discount coupon section, you get yourself a tidy little discount. And when they send out the stuff, it is packaged exquisitely. You get little goodies in there, stickers, and it's all wrapped up beautifully. So check out eggfried.com.
Okay, lastly, we want to thank, and certainly not leastly, we want to thank. Is leastly a word?
No, it's really not.
Right, we're going with it. We're going with it. So we want to thank Luke Van Boom. Luke Van Boom has a company called Bang Boom Creative. Luke is a long-time sponsor of this show and a friend of this show. If you see the pictures of Chris and I on the socials advertising this podcast, them happy snaps were taken by the genius that is Luke Van Boom. I mean, that's just the tip of what he does. Chris, do you want to explain a little bit more about what Bang Boom Creative does?
Yes, it's all about fresh, innovative production. So they're all about content with a heart and soul, making films of all kinds, shooting dynamic photographs and putting smiles on faces. They're passionate storytellers working with a diverse range of brands of all sizes. You know, their work includes short film, viral video, animation, hidden camera stunts, product demos, live action, 360 imaging and music promo. And they've worked with a ton of companies as well. Universal, BBC Children in Need, even the Mayor of London, Katie Piper, the NHS, the Dogs Trust. They've worked with a lot of companies.
It consistently blows my mind, you know, the stuff that you've just said there. Why does he have anything to do with us plums?
Stop talking him out of it.
Right. There you go. Thank you very much, sponsors. Right. So today's top five was actually suggested by one of our Patreons, right?
Yes. Brand new patron, Dan Miller. He's come up with this excellent top five. So we thought, let's give Dan some love and let's put this one out straight away as a main episode.
There you go. There you go. You also, just a shout out to you all, if you want to find out and get involved in picking top fives, come into the live Patreon hangouts, and getting extra content every week, then head over to Patreon, patreon.com/hardcorelisting. You can find out about everything else you need to know about this podcast at hardcorelisting.co.uk.com.
Yeah, or .co.uk. Yes. Become a patron and join the cult. I mean, the gang.
Gang. Yes. Right, should we get on with today's episode?
Let's do this shit.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Patreon special. Hello, you lovely patrons. I'm Stu Whiffin, as ever. I can see Christopher William Glasson in lumberjack shirt, wild beard and feral hair. How are you doing?
All right, well, it's a bit of a fruit. It's a nice fruity number, this one. Like, look, pink lumberjack.
I like it.
I love this shirt. Yeah, got a lot of time for it. I've had it probably 10 years.
Oh, watch
now,
that bun. So, it's about to burst.
No, that's my pectorals.
Oh.
Yeah. It actually feels quite loose on me, so I don't... Look, yeah. It's loose.
Yeah, you sort of thrust yourself towards the camera then, and it... Yeah, it's going to go.
It won't go.
I mean, there you go. There's your money's worth there, patrons. If you're watching that, you just got Chris thrusting his chest.
Let's see. Shall I expose a nipple?
No.
Does that become OnlyFans if I show a nipple? There we go. Oh. A nipple, two moles next to it.
There you
Looks
go.
Like I've just melted chocolate on my chest.
Very, very sexy start today, Glasson.
It is a sexy start. Sexy start for a sexy top five. Right?
Chosen by?
One of our new listeners. So, as ever, when we get new listeners come on, we're forever grateful.
Right.
And Daniel Morris. So thank you, Daniel.
Cheers,
thank
Dan.
You for becoming a patron. And he likes Daniel. Why? Don't be that familiar with him.
All right.
He likes Daniel. When he says you have my permission to call me Dan, then you can. You've never asked permission to call me Chris or Wanker or all those other ones.
I have a real problem with saying people's full names. It really is a thing that bugs people as well. There's a woman who lives across the road called Emma. I call her Em all the time. And then someone pointed out to me after about 6 months that she really doesn't like being called M. Yeah, I really struggle with it. I really struggle not abbreviating names because I use it.
You like to keep it informal.
And it's a term of endearment, isn't it? And like,
yeah, of course it is.
The only weird one is like Antonia. You can't really abbreviate that. And if you call her Tone, she does not like that.
It's a term of endearment. I think calling everyone cocksuckers, that's a term of endearment, but... My nan used to hate it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's ironic, really, seeing as much as she loved, you know.
honestly. She could suck a cock. What killed her. And she died doing what she loved. I won't explain it any further.
Bless her. Right, God, so, top five Jackass moments.
Yes, like, Jackass. Great one. Great shout, Dan. Good shout, mate. Jackass was just an incredible show, very of its time. I think there's a Jackass 4 coming out. There's a big furore about Bam Margera joining it. His story is really interesting, you know, his whole childhood and how talented he was as a skateboarder. But they all, like, I don't know, it was just a very MTV generation, wasn't it? And coming off the back of the things sort of like Buster Keaton and, you know, sort of like all the slapstick humour that Americans had.
And I think so much of it just come from them early skate videos. The same with Dirty Sanchez. You know, it was skaters just doing crazy shit and documenting it, putting it on them skate vids that were getting passed around the world. And then obviously it just exploded, didn't it? And Bam as a skater was just different level, wasn't he?
But he's really good. He's really talented.
But he's a troubled man.
He is. And the mad thing is he saved others as well. Mm. He saved others. There's another famous skateboarder that I was watching his story and saying how Bam was the one who basically rescued him, and he was a real troubled story as well. Mm. And like always strung out on heroin, and Bam saved him really. But
shit, what's his name? He's in lots of Jackass as well. And when we saw Bam's band play over in Camden, he was there as well. Oh, what's his name? Oh, God.
Chris Novak?
Yes.
Yeah. Good skateboarder.
No, Brandon
as well.
Novak, wasn't it?
Brandon Novak, sorry. Yeah.
And it's really weird because I follow Bam on Instagram, and it's just like ups and downs. One minute he seems to be on the mend, and then he's just, looks like a drunk. You know, and I mean that with the greatest of respect.
I know.
And it's weird because it would appear that, you know, that the rest of the lot have made the film without him and have just said, like, no, you're a liability. And
yeah, well, they did have a contract and he broke it. Yeah. And he wanted to make it public. And I was reading Knoxville just saying, look, I don't want to have a public, like, shouting match with you, Bam. I really want you to get better. And that's all I'm going to say on it. And... yeah, it must be tough for him. Because even people like Steve-O, he's got married, he's got a fiancé now, and he does things on YouTube where he talks about all these pub tricks and stuff like that, which are really good.
Well, people like Steve-O can make a really nice living out of their Instagram. You know, they're huge stars, you know. I think it's a shame, and obviously, you know, Ryan Dunn's no longer with us. Obviously, that had an effect on Bam, I think. But... yeah, I mean, but they're some crazy people, you know. As much as what happened to Ryan Dunn was horrific,
tragic,
you know, had some serious drink and was driving a car, you know, that these can be outcomes of doing things like that, unfortunately. And
was there someone in there with him who survived, or did they both die?
I don't know if the other one died. Remember. There was definitely someone in the car with him.
But he just went up into an inferno, didn't it? The whole car was gutted.
But, yeah, scary stuff.
Really cheery start, Dan. Yeah. Sorry, this is probably not what you want us to say. You want us to relive the glory days of Jackass.
Sorry, are we actually picking ones from Jackass?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, I've just done out my own ones.
Okay, wicked. Well, I picked Jackass Moments.
Oh, right. I thought it was like Jackass-style things that you've done.
Oh, right. Okay, now I've done ones from the show. Well, that's cool. And then one day maybe I'll tell you my ones.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got loads from the show anyway, so I'll mix it up. Right, what's your number five, Glasson?
Well, I'm going to start with Ryan Dunn, because he was one of the more sort of tamer, sort of like... He was up for it, but he wasn't like one of the hardcore Jackassians. Yeah. And he that made him also quite likeable, didn't it?
Yeah.
His one that's quite like just embarrassing and tear jerking was when he stuffed a toy car up his bum.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
Very simple. That probably slightly uncomfortable and painful. Not for me. I could get a remote control car up there.
Yeah. But easily.
For the average man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. For the average man, that's probably not that much fun.
Yeah.
And then to awkwardly walk into a hospital with your mates filming you and then just have the x-ray knowing full well what the fucking results are. I think that's hysterical. And, you know, just the little x-rays of the little toy car up his butt, and him acting like he didn't... I think he's, like, trying to play it down, like he doesn't know how it's got up there. It's just incredible. And just I wonder how many people have ended up in A&E knowing exactly why there's something up their arsehole. Yeah. It happens a lot, doesn't it? It happens more than we probably like to think about, where people just get a bit carried away and then they end up with something up their bot. It's brilliant, and I just wonder when it's going to happen to me and what it's going to be. I really wonder. Have you ever got anything stuck up your bum?
Nope.
No?
No.
Oh, okay, sure. I sounded like I didn't believe you there, but
yeah.
It's fine.
I'll tell you, obviously.
I know.
No.
I've had stuff stuck coming out of it.
No, I mean, most people do.
You know, sometimes I just feel like I'm trying to shit out a coconut. It's like, how's that? Well, I don't remember eating that, but there we go. What's your number five?
Number five.
You can do your own one.
All right, well, my first one was, I think... I've told this story on the podcast, I'm sure, but I think I'll go with my number five being driving out of my college and then seeing my friend, unaware that my friend was on the roof of my car, and as I was driving out of Farmers College in Grays down the long road out of there. He poked his head. It's Mr. Gels who's been a guest on here. Poked his head over the window and smiled at me, to which I thought it was really funny. Then I saw the principal at a college driving the other way towards the college, who then done a U-turn. So I jumped the red lights, drove to the college across the road and tried to hide in my car that had Cat in the Hat painted all over it. Just jumping the red light, screaming round the bend to try and get away from him with my mate clinging to the roof of my car was quite jackass. So that's my number
very
five.
Jackass. Very, very jackass, mate. You jackass.
Yeah.
Have I ever clung to... I've been in a lot of boots of cars. I've done a lot of car boot travel in my time, in my late teens, because we couldn't get us all in. So I'd be like, oh, I'll just hop in the boot then. And off we'd go. I'm sure my parents would have bloody had an absolute nightmare about that. So before Jackass, there was Camp Kill Yourself, which was something that some of them were already doing. And there was some crazy stunts in there. It was before Knoxville joined the crew.
Yeah.
And Steve-O was in them. And I'm going to name two for Steve-O, but the first one on Camp Kill Yourself was when he had his unicycle and he just cycled straight into an open raw sewage works. And I was just like, that is
brave.
Fucking that brave. I mean, you could probably kill yourself doing that.
Yeah, very brave, sorry.
And like, he just came out and just started ralphing everywhere. And I just thought, who's got the fucking stones to do that? And for years and years, I always thought Steve-O was the one who was the most, like clearly the wildest. He did. And then the one I was going to say, which is my number four, is the porta pot, the bungee porta pot.
Oh, that would have been in mine. That's just unbelievable.
It's gross and also dangerous.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's Steve-O. Yeah, yeah. Gross and also dangerous. And they've got the cameras on the inside of the porta potty and him just getting flung around in the air, getting covered in shit while flying through the air is just. God, they must
with his
make
own
so
face tattooed on him.
Yeah. must have just had so much fun coming up with those ideas. But that one was just, yeah, absolutely mental. A great one for PR.
Yeah.
Easy to sort of sell that.
100%.
Yeah, mate. 100%. What's your next one then?
November the 5th, probably 1992. I was DJing and promoting a little venue in Basildon. And I tried to make a kind of Guy Fawkes thing out of it. And the place was the Round Acre, near where you mm-hmm. grew up. And it had like sort of picnic benches out the front on this kind of grass area where people would go outside and smoke. And I mean, you could smoke inside then, but you could like kind of just hang out outside as well.
Have more of a healthy smoke.
And yeah. And I put it on the flyer the crescendo of the night will be me letting a rocket off out of, again, Mr. Gel's arsehole. and so, yeah, touching his toes, inserted the end of a rocket into his arsehole, and he panicked before I could light it, and never lit it, but it was so close. We got it in there, but I think he just panicked and couldn't do it. But
has he got a hairy bum?
No, he got a big one. But
what a big hair! One big hair.
It's just a big ass. But yeah.
Who put it in there? Who put it in there?
Hello.
Mate? And like, was there any thoughts given to how smooth the wooden rod was?
You masturbating?
But no, but just surely, like from my recollections, like of fireworks. It goes in the ground in a stick. I haven't done it a lot.
Sorry, hang on. Am I talking to Christopher Glasson or a health and safety fucking expert here?
No, but what I'm saying is, wouldn't it have been all like, wouldn't it have all had splinters on the end of it? Because those sticks aren't like filed and smooth.
No, they're probably not. No, but you know, I lick the end first. And like,
I tell you what, that is more dangerous than the firework going off up by his arsehole. He's like, just like some bit of balsa wood, dry, inserting it into his arse passage. Mm. But he bottled it, so I think still got to do it.
Yeah.
He's still got to do it, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. So I'll ask you now then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
All right. Look, I mean, like, in terms of fireworks, all I've done is created rocket launchers. That's as far as I've gone with them. Like, I've got like loads of metal piping, and I've put stuffed mud down the end of one end of it, and then slid all the fireworks down the other end alight, and just, you know, fired them at my friends basically over at Basildon Rugby Club. So just the normal fun and hijinks with fireworks. I've never just held on to one and fired it. And I mean, when I say I don't think I fired it at my mates, actually, I was just firing it into the rugby grounds. I think I've always been a bit scared of fireworks, so I don't blame Mr. Gels. But yeah, I just always remember that, like that sparkler advert we've talked about before. It scared the living shit out of me. So yeah, creating a rocket launcher, yeah, cool, but not firing it at people. I've put plenty of bangers in dog poo on people's doorsteps and stuff like that because I'm a horrible person. But going back to Jackass, my number three is, oh god, this makes me wince every time. It's when it was called, I think it's called Puppet Show. Let me just, yeah, Puppet Show. Do you know the one I'm talking about when I say Puppet Show? Have you got any idea? So Chris Pontius, it's Chris Pontius and Knoxville, and he flipping Pontius, because you know he was always like always wearing that jock strap running around and stuff like that, which was always good fun. But he put his willy in a jock strap that actually looked like a mouse. And then they put that, his willy, that's in a mouse-looking jock strap, in a cage with a snake.
Oh, that's in Jackass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that's the name of his show, Stu.
No, you said another thing about puppets.
Is this the first sign of dementia? I don't know. Dan, you've joined up, but we might not be doing this show for much longer.
Who's Dan?
Yeah, no. He did have his wee in a little like puppet, but it wasn't on. They didn't have that on Sesame Street, Stu.
No, I was just checking. I was just checking. No, I think that's in the second film.
Like that's where they go quite. I think that's probably where they go the hardest.
Yeah, massively. Even the stuff off camera, like where they're just sitting there, just chatting, and all of a sudden, like, bam's on the roof, and he just pisses on them. I just think I'd be really upset about that. But then they throw him in that hole, don't they? Full of snakes, and he loses his shit.
I can't even remember that bit.
Yeah, he's like literally crying. Get me out! Get me out!
But yeah, he puts his dick in this little mouse sock, and then they put a little bit of like fishing string on the end so they can move the penis in the cage, so a snake with fangs can bite his belly.
Yeah,
I've got to say, like, you know, there are braver stunts that I'll talk about later, but in terms of like, no way am I putting my dick in a cage and having a snake with fangs sinking into
it—that
is just like that was just making me wince so bad. So good one on Chris for finding his way into this, because more he just liked to get a bit naked, really,
and
didn't he?
Do his little dancing, yeah. I'm going to throw one in a quick one before I go to one of my own. Just from the early stuff, pre-Jackass, when they pull up at a drive-through and just get a massive milkshake. And then before they drive off, they just literally throw it back through the little window and shout fire in the hole. And every time I go to a drive-thru, I think I'd love to do that. Just fire in the hole! And just throw a fucking massive milkshake through the window. You know, but
it ain't fun. It isn't like... It's mischievous, that, and it's annoying. But of all the things a kid could do when they're young... Doing that ain't the worst.
No.
Isn't the worst thing in the world.
Agreed.
And it's that level of mischievousness, like where I'd have been in tears. I told you the time, like doing things like that. I told you the time when we were going through the Queen Elizabeth Bridge, and my buddy Mark, you know, when you had to give him money, and he just wiped the biggest booger on the underside of his pound coin. That he handed to the person.
Oh, that's
been
really
driving
bad.
Away, we were in tears. And you know when you think, you horrible little gits.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's really not funny.
Cool. It's not cool. But when you're doing it and you're not thinking of other people, it's incredibly funny.
Our friend used to pay for the car behind every time. And that creates something quite surreal. Because the person behind just thinks, and obviously just go to pay. It's like, no, your friend paid. It's like, what? And then they spend the next like half an hour trying to get alongside the car to see who's paid for them.
And I guess the game is don't let them get up by the side of you.
Oh, just don't even acknowledge it. And it would just fuck with their head that, like, oh, huh? It's only a quid and it's endless fun. So yeah, fire in the hole. But the one I'm going to go for my number three, is something really simple and quick. And when Cunt from Cunt and the Gang passed his driving test, he was the first of our friends to have a car. And he just had a blue Ford Escort at the time. And we thought it would be interesting, because we used to go to video cameras and film loads of really stupid shit. Like, we'd go to Basildon, and I've got a video of me in Basildon and the Bakers in probably 1991 being secretly filmed, asking, can I please see the Baps? Can I see the CD Baps? Can I see, do you do CD fingers? Could I have a CD finger, please? Like, just the most irritating. Going to the jewellers and asking, can I see your ring? Like, all of that stuff. Just stupid shit when, like, you're young that you think the funniest thing ever. So we always had cameras, like, just, like, dicking around, just being juvenile bellends. But the one that I look back on now and wish I had on camera... was when, like I say, Cunt passed his driving test, and whenever he went out in the car, we still wanted attention, and we was just trying to think of the best way to get it. So we both wore crash helmets every time we went out in his car. And when you see two blokes in a Ford Escort driving past you, and they're both wearing full face crash helmets, it looks fucking mental. And it still really makes me smile to this day, just the thought of people just going, why are they wearing crash helmets? It was the shittiest car, and we were probably doing about 30 miles an hour, and we'd have both the windows down, we'd have our elbows on the side of the car and like hand on the roof with just full crash helmets on. And it made no sense, but it really made me laugh. I guess that's a bit more trigger happy than Jackass.
Still very funny. We did a video, I remember, when Jackass, it was in my second year of uni. I was drinking a lot, and I was working in a bar, and we was doing lots of lock-ins. It was quite a lot. And I remember we were recording this Jackass video, and it was like us doing stunts, like jumping off the bar, just onto the floor, just stupid shit, like setting light to ourselves in... You know, burning all their pubes off of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Putting out fags on my tongue. Anyway, I woke up. It's not I woke up. When I sobered up, because it was about a two day long bender, my finger had broken, and I didn't even know that I'd really sort of like broke it. So yeah, I've got a wonky finger from that. It doesn't really show that much now, but my left one there, if I put it together, it's bad. Yeah, it's broke. I was like, "Oh shit!" I don't remember when I did that, but I'm kind of glad I don't have that video footage. I imagine it's been lost into the things of time now. I don't really need to see myself doing that because I probably cringe quite hard. But I'd like to see your videos. So if you ever want to send them to me, that'd be absolutely wicked.
We made some gay pornography when we was all about 19. With mum deodorant bottles instead of our dinkles, but just in our pants, called Sexy Flatmates. My mate has that on VHS and will not let it surface. It's brilliant. It's really, really brilliant. I've not seen it since I was probably about 25, but I'd love to see it again. I've got literally hours and hours. We went to Romford dressed as like a really bad 80s band in probably about 1988. We always had a video camera, just because we were just massive show-offs. Obviously, I've spoke about the football match at Palmer's Avenue where we pulled up and all got out wearing the kids' football kits and play foot without bending our arms and legs in front of everyone. Just that sort of stuff. We had time on our hands. We were DJs, so we earned our money of an evening. So we were just bored of a day and just wanted some attention because we couldn't. We weren't handsome enough or interesting enough just to go and talk to girls. We had to do stupid shit to get attention.
Oh, I absolutely respect that hustle. Absolutely respect it. You have an A star.
Typified by being at Pizzazz Discotheque asking a girl to have a dance. This was when the night would finish with an erection section where you'd have a slow dance. Went up to her, asked her for a dance. She said yes whilst we were slow dancing. She went, "You look just like this idiot that goes to my college." And I thought, yeah, that's me, isn't it? That's definitely me. Right, okay, so my number two.
I think it's my number two.
Is it? Oh, I did. I went Crash Helmets. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it is. Sorry, bro.
My number two is... So I said I always, for a long time, thought Knox, Steve-O was the mad one. But, like, actually, Johnny Knoxville, like, after looking back on it now, he had some absolute stones on him, Johnny Knoxville. And it was around the time when I watched him get in a cage with a bear, and I just thought... And it wasn't a small bear. And he put chainmail on, and I just thought, that bear ragdolls him. And I just thought, that's really quite insane that you've done that. Do you know what I mean? There's one thing where you can control... You can stand on a rake and headbutt a rake, right? And it can be fucking painful. But it's unlikely to shatter anything on you. At most, break your nose, right? Going in a cage with a bear, there's just no sort of way to sort of gauge how well that's going to pan out. And around the same time, he was doing ones where he was standing in front of someone shooting, people shooting shotguns into him. And using like, what are those bean bangs that were, I remember them saying, oh, they're less lethal like than bullets. Shot. Yeah, but less lethal than bullets. Not saying that they can't be lethal. And I mean, a cabbage leaf can be lethal, I guess, but...
Well, you can see especially the damage that can done. I mean, if we're talking Jackass, we can also shout out Pritch when with the paintballing, like what that done to his body.
Mate, I can't imagine. I've been caught with a fair few paintballs enough to know that must have been so painful, like getting shot about 100 times, didn't he? And then it was thinking it was for a Guinness Book of Records. That is beautiful. That is absolute poetry, that is. Saying there's no Guinness Book of Records.
Oh, so good. So good. Oh,
painful, painful. But yeah, it's that. And then so Johnny Knoxville's ones. And he's recently, he done a movie in 2018 called Action Point, which I still haven't seen. But I was reading about it this morning. That's where he said he got his most injuries in one sitting. Like, he ended up with like four concussions, a broken hand, a broken face, and to the point where he fractured his orbital and his eye kept popping out. So the last part of the movie, like, they could only film him from one side. You just think, oh yeah, and in the trailer, I watched it today, like, he's just getting thrown at a fucking side of a barn and just gets thrown through this barn, but on these massive pneumatics slingshot. That's just insane. Like, he really, like, Johnny Knoxville actually was like brave as hell to do the stunts that he did. I don't know if you got any personal favourites of what Johnny Knoxville did.
Quite like it when they fire dildos at him. I mean, Bad Grandpa. I mean, in that, is it Bad Grandpa or Dirty Grandpa?
Yeah, Bad Grandpa.
Yeah, that. I mean, he's incredible in that when he goes to the strip joint and as the old dude, and obviously his balls are hanging out and he's just grinding. How he don't get the shit beaten out of him, it's like unbelievable. Like, yeah, just he's just such a dude, Johnny Knoxville. He really is. Yeah. So my two,
it's your number two. Yeah.
I'm going to talk about going to McDonald's with Big Papa Jay, and the woman saying, can I take your order, please, sir? And he said, can I have 100 cheeseburgers, please? And a portion of fries. To which, without a blink of an eye, she just went, would you like a drink with that, sir? And, not like, did you just say 100 cheeseburgers? And yeah, to sit and watch his contented little face whilst he had a mountain, because they were just bringing up trays and trays and trays of burgers, like, you know, you're getting trays of like 20 burgers just constantly turning up on the table. And just seeing that all get finally left there where he's sitting there just eating and eating and eating a mountain of burgers was just something to...
What did he manage, 10?
No. 50? I think he won on 14. And again, even when you're really angry and you think, piece of piss, I'd smash that.
No.
Mate,
no,
you wouldn't. It's the Predator. It's like the Predator just comes and gets you, man.
Predator.
It is. It's Armageddon. Like, you can't cope. It's too much. But yeah, I mean, just I had to throw one in of him, and there's so many little moments where he's done things like that that will be brilliant little jackass or trigger happy moments. Going to collect a parcel from Royal Mail when I walked in there, I'd just started working with him, and the company had BlackBerry phones, which were like a real state of the art thing. And I remember feeling like I had a computer in my hand; it blew my mind. And I didn't realise he just sent me a message, and it was a voicemail message. So I just opened it whilst I was talking to the woman while he stood outside, and he had just screamed in the highest pitched voice, "Can I lick you out, please?" which just blared out of like where I was standing, while this woman just looked horrified at me. But yeah, just seeing him sitting there with his 100 burgers was brilliant. And yeah, so that's my number two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good shout, mate. I'd love 100 burgers right now. I reckon I could manage it. So my number
one...
That's
a vegan thing going.
Yeah. I mean, I went away at the weekend, so I did actually have like a big bit of... what did I have? I had some pork. And then I had a Sunday roast. So I had two bits of meat. All naughty, right. Naughty, naughty, tilties. Right, the Toro Trotter. When they all on that... It's a four-way seesaw. And they're in a ball ring.
Yeah.
It's just beyond insane, and none of them had fun. Like when you watch it, they like immediately. I think Ryan gets caught first, and Bam's like, "Fuck this!" and he's screaming, running out there, and then Johnny's the last one, and it's mad that like, I think at one point Steve Rowe, before they even get on it. It's just blindfold facing down a ball, which charges him and hits him in both fires, and he just flies over the ball. It's like I can't imagine it's not guts. It goes beyond guts. Like there's something not firing in their brains.
Absolutely, absolutely.
There's something
nobody
not firing
of sound
in their
brains. Mind would do that.
Yeah, like that is hysteria and money and obviously the celebrity and fame and egging each other on to the point where it's no longer fear. And I don't know, man, that was just bananas. And then Knoxville's getting gouged at the end and they had to help him get out of there. Any of them could have died on that thing, really. I just think that was insane. Like, I guess it's number one because of how insane it is, but it's also like it isn't the funniest one. Yeah. Because actually, none of them actually enjoy it. Yeah. Like, they really are like... Oh, I think we've bit off way too much than we can chew. Mm. So yeah, the bloody Toro Trotter, mate, is my number one. I don't know how they got sign off to do that.
I mean, God knows how they deal with not that I've ever given it any thought, like the insurances and things like that. It must just be crackers. But a few honourable mentions: having a fight with Butterbean. And just watching Butterbean store. in the middle of a store, literally just knocking them all over the place. Steve O putting a fish hook through his mouth on a boat and then jumping into shark infested waters as
that's
bait.
Wild. That was Wild Boys, I think. Yeah. That was mental, yeah.
Right, that was pretty crackers. My number one's going to be not too far from here at Blackshot's playing field when I was probably about 19. We built suits of armour out of cardboard boxes.
Incredible.
And I say that, we just look like shit robots. That's what that game should be called, actually. And then what we done was all took a golf club and went over there and all hit dog shit at each other with golf clubs. And you'd just be wearing cardboard boxes and you just hear like kind of doot and you just get struck by dog shit. This is before people pick their own dog shit up. But yeah, so that was probably one of the most weirdest things that I think we'd done. We didn't film
that's
that.
Incredible.
And that was one of the things, I think, when we finished, we sort of laughed and then sort of all just thought about it for a moment and just sort of went a bit quiet.
Or went your separate ways.
I might just chip off, lads.
Anyone about it.
Should we never do that again or talk about it?
I don't know. I'm really up for it. I'm up for doing shit robots, though, but you got the... All the rule is you can build your armour out of cardboard and your weapon out of cardboard.
No, it's a proper golf club.
Okay, no, but my version is, like, you do that, and then you build your weapon out of cardboard, then you can just beat the shit out of each other, and the one with, like, gives up the first is the loser.
Right.
I think me, you and Pip could do that. I think that'd be a great game. Go find our way over, like, a field in Essex.
What's interesting, right, is... we'll never think about this again, and then someone will bring it up in a year's time, and we'll go, oh, God, yeah, we never meant that. Should we do that? Pip would already have his shit sorted. He would have done it.
Yeah. He'd painted his cardboard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
All been done. All right, well, on that bombshell, should we fuck off?
Let's fuck off. Great. Thanks for being a patron. Great top five. And let us know, guys, what your favourite Jackass moments are. There are literally hundreds.
Yeah, comment on the post on Patreon about what your favourite moments are. Keep your messages coming in. Keep your requests coming in to guest on the podcast. We're just working through a few of those now. Always keep in ideas for top fives. We always need that. And go and check the feed, because we've announced when the next live show is going to be. The next live Patreon hangout. The next live show is going to be the McFly All Day at the end of July. But yeah, before that, we'll do another Zoom hangout. So also, Dan, thanks for suggesting this one. Come to the hangout. Be good to see you there. And yeah, we done?
Until next time, bitches.
Peace. It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.